Let me. Okay, there we go. Well, good morning to everybody. And it's been a chilly few days. You had some chilly days and you had some rainy days. Well, it's been minus 29, minus 30, minus 31. It's warmed up to minus 14. It feels like spring. And we're supposed to have a really big snowstorm tomorrow, which is okay. I still haven't used my snowblower yet. I wouldn't care if it went all winter, but it looks like I might get a chance 25 to 30 centimeters, however many feet that is, I'm not sure. So anyhow, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. Just as an introduction, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we've been enjoying some thoughts about Timothy in one of our weekly Bible studies. And I just want to read a few words of exhortation of the Apostle Paul to Timothy as an introduction for our message this morning. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading in verse 12, please. Watch your Bibles, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. That is Paul writing to Timothy. Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourselves and those that hear you. Just out of these verses, would like to take this thought. Paul said in verse 13, till I come. Well, as believers, we're glad for examples and godly men and women that have gone on before us. But I think by way of application, we could suggest this thought. The Lord Jesus says, till I come, till I come, think about it. Give attention to reading, and I understand maybe some of your translations may even have this emphasis, public reading, interestingly enough, to exhortation, to doctrine, that is the teaching of the scripture. You remember the Lord Jesus in the Great Commission says, go and preach the gospel and baptize the believers and teach them. And you also remember in Acts chapter 2 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That was the teaching. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the last days, at the end of everything, what was the admonition? Preach the word. So this is kind of where I'm going with this. What do we do? What is our goal? What is our mandate? What should we continue in? Now, we got a crazy mixed up world. I'm young. I'm one of the youngest ones around 16th here. I'm only going to be 77 this year. So I feel like a pup, you know. And but I've never seen anything like this, not in my adult life that I can remember. I have never in my life seen anything like this. The whole world's upside down. And it's not because the people of God are turning it upside down with the gospel, like the apostles were. It's like the world's gone crazy. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. And it's just like black is white, and white is black. It's just like you can't. So what should we do? Well, we should give attention to reading. We should give attention to exhortation. Keep on keeping on keeping on, and to the teaching of the Word of God. Again, by way of application, let me say to you as believers, you have a gift. Don't neglect it, please. You have one, at least one. Some of you are multi-gifted. Don't neglect it. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't say, who cares? Don't say, I quit. You can't quit. Where are you going to go? You know, the Lord said, disciples, you're going to quit too? And he said, well, where would we go? There's no place to quit to. Okay, there's no options. So don't neglect your gift. And then notice in verse 15, meditate. It's a lost art. How do you meditate? Well, you got to get quiet to meditate. You can't be checking your phone. Or you can't be using your screen time. You can't be, you know, distracted. Meditate. Get quiet. Meditate on these things. Notice 15. Give yourself entirely to them. And notice this. So that your progress may be evident to all. Anybody ever come up to you and say, I am so encouraged by your growth in Christ. I am so encouraged by your maturity. The whole assembly just thanks God. Thank God for you. Oh, so take heed, verse 6, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, the teaching. Continue in them, and you'd be surprised. It'll deliver you, and it'll deliver those that hear you. So that's the introduction. Hebrews chapter 10 is our text. Hebrews chapter 10. Some have suggested that we're just going to have a little walk in the garden in these verses, beginning in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10, sort of keeping in thought with an absolutely crazy world around us. We want to, you know, just go on reading, studying, exhorting, encouraging. Verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. I'll read the rest of it in a minute. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Verse 24, let us consider one another. And verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Taking the admonition of Paul to Timothy, what to do till Paul comes. Now we're taking the admonition of Scripture to us as individuals. Let us draw near in verse 22. Let us hold fast. 23, let us consider one another. 24, someone said, a little walk in the garden. We got three heads of lettuce. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. So quickly, in the time that we have left, let us draw near. Well, draw near. Draw near to the Lord. Draw near to one another. Draw near to the very heart of God. on the background of what has gone in chapter 10 and even the great theme of Hebrews itself, the superiority of Jesus Christ, the one and only sacrifice forever. As our high priest, we want to draw near to him. Now, he tells us four ways in which we can do that, of which we can draw near. Now, you remember what James in his letter, his epistle, just says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Just cut to the chase. There you go. You take one step, God will take two. Okay? So it's sort of lined out a little better for us here, a little more detail. Let us draw near. And he mentions four things with a true heart, a full assurance of, I think the old King James says faith, New King James says hope. Number three, heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, okay, and bodies washed with pure water, drawing near. True heart, it's not hard, it's real deal. This is real heart. This is like Joshua says, the children of Israel, you know, in sincerity and truth. It's just like there's no disguise. This is not just outward lip service we're talking about. This is undivided attention, a true heart. Now, I know your heart condemns you because mine condemns me, but thank God he's greater than our hearts. And so it is not the strength or even the way in which we can analyze our own heart. That's not the problem. We'll always come up in the negative if we do that. It is God's evaluation and God's grace, which is sufficient, and his strength, which is every day. So with a true heart, with a sincere heart, I am to draw near. Okay, so I'm honest. I see myself as I am. I see myself in Christ, and I draw near. Secondly, full assurance. You'll notice that full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. What does that mean? It means I am persuaded that whatever God says, he means what he says. He says what he means. He says that my full assurance of faith is confidence in God. Listen, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. If you can't believe God, who are you going to believe? So I draw near with a sincere, true, honest heart. And I draw near saying, God, I'm persuaded. Whatever you say, that's what I say. Whatever you say, I believe that. And then notice the third thing, heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 13, saying that if you're already washed, you only have to wash your feet and you'll be clean. I think you're familiar with that principle, the cleansing bath of eternal life. Okay, that's once and for all forgiveness of sins. But I get daily defiled sometime, and I got to go confess that sin. I got to deal with that sin. And this is the way I draw near. I draw near with hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You remember the children of Israel had to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the door of Passover that night. This is what you do. You take the blood, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, and you sprinkle your heart. Notice what you sprinkle it from, an evil conscience. You say, could believers have an evil conscience? Go like this. Oh, my goodness. You never forget that in Romans chapter 13, Paul is writing to believers, you know, take off the works of darkness, you know, put on the armor of light, you know. It's just like, you mean Christians? Yeah. Remember, we got a true heart, a sincere heart. I'm honest. I come in a full faith, full confidence assurance of God's word. And then I deal with this, a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is that? Dark conscience, blind conscience, stupid conscience, immoral conscience, bad thought, bad deed, bad word, bad. Oh, my goodness. What happened? Well, I need to apply the cleansing blood of Christ for fellowship. It's already dealt with for my salvation. But this is applying this. And I want you to notice in this little four-part thing we're talking about here, heart sprinkle, that's inward. And then notice our bodies, the last part of verse 22, our bodies, okay, washed with pure water. So he's saying, listen, when you come, I want you to have a clean heart, full faith. I want you to be washed or sprinkled from an evil conscience, and I want your bodies to be washed. What is that? This is our deeds, our words, our conduct, not only heart sprinkled, but bodies washed as well. That's our approach. Let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast. Hold fast. Don't we sing it just about every time we have a baptism? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's what holding fast is. No one joined me, yet I will follow. No turning back. You know, we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. No turning back. Our confession of our faith, verse 23, a confession of our hope, it says in the New King James, a confession of our faith. Let us hold fast without wavering. Well, the only way I cannot waver is trust him. Now, let's be real. I can say I trust the Lord, but I get to pull the trigger, right? I say, well, I'm trusting the Lord, but I make the decision whether to turn that computer on or off, what link to go to, what station, what movie to watch, what crowd to associate with. I mean, let's just be real. Let us hold fast the confession of faith because I'm not able. My confession of faith is based on his promise, not on my faithfulness. But it's what I have said I believe. Dear friends, there's nobody free from sin. There's nobody free from temptations. Even the Lord was tempted, not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you give in. Recently, I had a conversation with a young Christian. The battle is raging with him. So what do you do as a counselor? You say, well, you know, you shouldn't do that. You need to turn that off, shut that down, close the book, stop the ears, run away like Joseph, like, okay. And ultimately, we're saying, don't go back. He is faithful. We're not faithful. He is faithful. How do I practically get the power of God into my life so that I can hold fast? I make hard decisions. Do you know that in the New Testament, the word love is not a feeling? It's a decision. Stop loving the world. Okay, well, I feel like I want to. No, you got to make a decision. It's the same way here. Oh, I can't handle it. You got to make hard decisions. You cut the cable. You take a hammer to the cell phone. You go, I don't know what you got to do. You got to make hard decisions. Hold fast. No turning back. Notice it. Hold fast the confession of your faith with your hope without wavering. Why? How can I do it? He who promises faithful. Listen, if God asks you to do anything you can't do, that wouldn't be fair. He wouldn't do that. If he says, now you hold fast, for I am faithful. I like it when Timothy tells us, if we believe not, yet he's faithful. And listen, he knows how to rescue. You take poor Lot. He's not an example of anything, really, except what you shouldn't do. And God drug him out of Sodom, drug him out with his heels dug in, took him by the hand, drug him out. Now you hold fast because he is faithful. And then finally, let us consider one another. Consider. When you look at me, I want you to remember something, because I'm remembering it when I look at you. You're bought with a price, you're not your own. Bought with the same blood I'm bought with. Got the same Holy Spirit I got. Get the same grace I get. You got the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God. You got it. Every one of you that I see right here, you got everything. You've got it all. God's for you. God's not against you. But when we say, consider one another, I got to consider, which side of the tracks were you raised on? Some of you I know, some I don't. What was your culture? What was your tradition? We're all people of like passion, men and women. We have different personalities, different temperaments, different circumstances of life. But you are saints. You know the Lord. You are believers. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. Redeemed by the same blood, equal rights to glory and to heaven, gifts and abilities that differ, but all in the family of God. The next time you see me and you get a question mark about what I'm doing, pray for me, would you? Encourage me, would you? Consider one another. Maybe I just lost a loved one. Maybe I just had a financial disaster. Maybe I just had relationship problems. Maybe I have hit a mountain or a wall, or I can't move along. And just consider me, would you? We're so quick to say, oh, they shouldn't have. Oh, look what they did. Oh, they weren't faithful. Listen. We got to consider one another. We got to accept one another. Oh, listen, not to condone sin. No. But to carry one another's burdens. To encourage one another. Look at verse 24. Consider one another in order to do something. Encourage. Stir up, the old King James, I mean, provoke, okay? Irritate, that's what I gotta consider one another so I can irritate you. Well, I probably don't have to consider you to irritate you, but that's not the context. The context is this: consider you to irritate you, to stir you up in love and good works. This is an interesting word. It really only appears in one other place, and that's when, who was it, Barnabas and Paul had this big problem over John Mark. You remember that? What is it, Acts 14, 15, somewhere in there? And it says that the contention was so contentious. It's the same word. The provocation was so provoking, they couldn't get over it. Now, keep on keeping on. Doing what? Encouraging, stirring up. Don't give up. Don't just say, I tried and it didn't work. Don't give up. And provoking to love, brotherly love, and good works. Don't you just like it when somebody pulls in beside you and whisper in your ear and you just go, oh, wow. That was like a cold drink of water on a hot day. Oh, my, that was like a cool summer breeze in the blistering sun of life. This was like a palm tree and a well in the desert. That's what we need to be, brothers and sisters, to one another, considering one another. And when you do that, don't just do it one time. Don't give up, okay? Don't give up. Keep it going. Keep it going. I am amazed how often I forget. I don't know if you do. I get this big burden. Oh, right, call, visit, and then, oh, I never thought about them lately. Oh, I'm so forgetful, you know, so forgetful. So if we all do this together, the whole thing works. Verse 25, and I'll be through. The positive is encourage and stir up to good works. The negative is don't quit. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble now. Oh, my goodness. I thought I could preach maybe once without getting in trouble, but it's not going to happen. There's some people who believe that if you only Zoom and don't go to the meeting, you've forsaken the assembly of yourself. Oh, I don't know how narrow-minded those people are. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The forsaking of the assembly means you don't want to go around Christians. You don't want to consider one another. You don't want to hold fast. You don't want to draw near. You just want your own way, do your own thing, nobody telling you what to do, and you're not interested. That's forsaking. I believe we live in a generation of young people who are doing that, raised in Christian homes, got the fundamentals of the scriptures down pat, and they have chosen not to engage themselves in it. They don't do it. I don't believe that. I don't want to do that. I'm not into that. I don't. There's all kinds of reasons, but that's the bottom line. They have forsaken. They don't bother with Zoom or anything. Who cares? Just done. How do we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? By exhorting one another, and so much more as the day approaches. Close with a quote from Jude, any chapter, verse 24. Some of you will get that later. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, stumbling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It's all about him. You heard me tell that story, you know, getting up to preach and the chairman says, take your hymn book and turn to the reading this morning, Psalm 22. Everybody knew he made a mistake, of course, you know. Take your hymn books, he said, and turn to Psalm 22. Now they're wondering, what is he talking about? He held up his Bible and he said, take your hymn books. This is all about him, you know, the Lord Jesus. Well, you take your hymn books and you draw near, you hold fast, and you consider one another, and don't consider forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. Encourage our hearts today. We're just at best unfaithful servants, and we want to just commit our way to you. I pray for all who might be weary today, all who might be frail and weak today. that Father, you would lift them up, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, encourage your dear people in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.